Welcome everyone back to My Wave Podcast. So excited to have Stone Tippett with us today. Can't wait to hear his wave, hear his story, talk about his life. And I've known him just for a little while, just kind of hit and miss throughout, you know, surfing really, and the restaurant you work out. But we'll get into his life story and surfing, and I can't wait to hear from him. But do want to thanks to Billy at Thorpe Creative. You can follow him at Thorpe Creative on Instagram. He's behind the scenes here, and super excited to see what's getting ready to happen in his life and in his future. And maybe in a next episode or so, maybe we'll get you on here, Billy, and let you share what's getting ready to happen. That'd be fun. But hey, if you've liked what you've been hearing and you would like to support the My Wave Podcast, you can do so very simple. Just go to buymeacoffee.com. / My Wave, and you can buy me a cup of coffee, $5. It's not a subscription base, it's a one-time thing, but you can buy me multiple coffees. I like coffee. So buymeacoffee.com/MySpace My Wave. And then today's sponsor is Shredder Surf Camp. We'll learn to surf this summer, Wrightsville Beach. You can check us out at Shredder's Surf Camp on the internet at shredderssurf.com. We do private lessons, camps, and it's just a fun time to get in the water and learn how to surf. And that is our topic here on My Wave. We want to talk about your most memorable wave. And so, Stone, super excited that we were able to work it out for you to get on this podcast.
Oh yeah, it's been a long time coming.
It has
3 months of schedule dodging and
yeah,
all of that, and now we're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, the first time I really ever spoke to you or saw you or whatever, I believe it was at Hobo's. I think you were with Jarrett and Cameron, or maybe it's just Jarrett.
I think it was just me and Jarrett.
You and Jarrett. I believe,
yep.
Yeah. And we had gone to Hobo's, and I think you guys were down at Middles to start out. And then you came over and Jared paddled. I was like, Jared. And he was like, yeah, I'm here with Stone. And I turned and you picked off one of the set waves rolling around the rock there. And I was like, that boy rips. And then I was like, that boy's tall. How tall are you?
I believe I'm 6'5" now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is a whole topic in itself. There's not a lot of tall surfers.
Nope, very, very few.
So do you find it, I mean, obviously you work with what you have because you're living in your body. But as a surfer and as someone that has observed you surfing, I mean, you rip.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think everybody in the lineup sees that. And you don't come across as I'm better than you, and I appreciate that. But you are better than most of the people out there, you know? And how is it? Do you find it as an advantage to be a taller surfer?
Not necessarily. I think the long arms helps with the paddling for mm-hmm. sure.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
But definitely when the waves go under about 3 foot, makes everything very difficult if I'm trying to ride a smaller board.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The height's nice when it's big because then it feels a little less scary.
Right.
And the paddling strength is there, but under 3 feet makes it very tough.
Yeah. And you just shortboard?
I'll longboard occasionally.
Okay.
Like especially during summertime.
Yeah.
Gets you a good workout.
Yeah.
Keeps you sane when there's not good waves to ride. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go back to Puerto Rico real quick. You take regular trips down there?
I try to go once a year.
Okay.
Typically in the fall, beginning of winter,
mm-hmm.
when they start getting better swells.
Yeah.
Probably been going there for about 4 years now, three years now.
Yeah.
Just try to go down there for at least like a week.
Any special spots there?
So far, Middles has been my favorite wave. You can surf it in the 3 to 4 foot range, and it's a blast to surf. It's mm-hmm. got so much power.
Yeah.
And it's how it breaks is very fun.
Mm.
And Hobo's is also very fun. Reminds me of a wave we have here.
Right.
But yeah, I love those two spots the most, probably.
Okay. There. Okay. You ever explore down further on the west side?
Yeah, I've surfed around Wilderness a few times. Other than that, not really.
Yeah.
Surfed in Isabella a few times. Where was it? Maria's. Surfed there a few times.
Okay.
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Now, in Maria's, that's way down, like, towards Rincon. Is that Maria's? Or
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's in Rincon.
Neat. Neat. Yeah, I'd like to do some more exploring in the future down there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
Sweet people. Yeah, yeah. And so when did you start surfing?
I believe I was about 5 or 6.
Okay.
My brother grew up surfing, and he taught me when I was about 5 or 6.
Okay, how much older is he?
He is 10 years older than me.
Oh, okay. So he's 15-year-old and taking his little brother out.
Oh, yeah.
Fun. Did you grow up around here?
Yeah, yeah. I was born in Raleigh, but grew up here.
Nice.
Lived here for 19 years now.
Yeah. So. Been surfing ever since that early age?
Yep. Yep. Kept with it.
Yeah.
For about, I guess, 15 years now.
Do you remember what that first board was that he was pushing in on?
Yeah. I believe it was a 6'1 or 6'3 green room.
Okay.
Board. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started out on a little board.
Yeah. Well, I was a very little person, so I didn't need too much to get me going at that age.
That's cool. Yeah, any other sports you do? I mean, a lot of people see your height and see volleyball, basketball.
Not anymore. Growing up, I did. And then surfing took the advantage on that.
That's good. That's good. As, you know, because of your level of surfing, have you ever competed?
I've competed a little bit, just like a few local contests here and there. But the competitive route's not really for me. It's fun to do every now and then, just go out and try to surf against people that are better than you.
Yeah.
And hopefully win a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But don't really do it regularly.
Sure, sure. And that it's a different mindset. I mean, you talk to people who are competitive surfers and man, they're all about it.
You know, they love it.
Yeah. And then the strategy behind it and everything, you know, have you ever observed a competitive surfer on a normal day, how they surf?
Oh, definitely.
It changes. I'm kicking out. If it's going to be a hard paddle back out, I'm going to kick out early. You know, I may not hit that last section. I'm going to let it take somebody on the head. But they work that wave to the beach.
Oh, every time.
Yeah. And I think it's good. They're practicing because that's what the judges are looking for, I guess, is utilizing the entire wave. I've never competed. I think it would be fun to try, but I'd probably kook out and come in last.
Oh, yeah, but it's still a good time. Like, if you get a couple friends, do, like, a local contest.
Yeah.
You just go down there, have a full beach day. Everyone's just trading off, surfing heats against each other.
Yeah.
And then when you throw in, like, a couple prizes, maybe a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
Makes it pretty fun to do every once in a while.
Oh, cool.
I definitely won't do it often, but
yeah,
don't mind doing it once or twice a year.
Cool. Any sponsors along the way?
I'd surf for Aussie Island Surf Shop, and that's about it.
Okay. I remember a friend of mine, that I surfed with for a while. We would go to Outer Banks a lot, out of the Raleigh area, and he had a sticker on the back of his truck, and it said self-sponsored. I need that. I
love
need that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm paying for all my waves. That's cool. We'll talk more, you know, just surfing and whatnot, but where are we going for your most memorable wave?
I believe we'll be in the Outer Banks.
Okay.
I think we're going to go with that one. I have a few in mind, but
yeah.
I think the one I'm thinking of in the Outer Banks is going to take over.
All right. Now, East Coast travel, surfing, where have you traveled on the East Coast?
Just up towards the Outer Banks, really.
Yeah.
Emerald Isle on the way, but typically only Outer Banks area. Haven't gone further north than that, and I haven't really done much time in Florida.
Okay. So. Yeah. Why'd you skip over South Carolina, Georgia?
It's not great. I believe it's a little worse than here, so.
Yeah.
I'll pass those two states. Go on to the
Sorry,
next.
Sorry to those listening on the podcast from South Carolina, Georgia. Is there any waves in Georgia? Like, have you?
I've seen pictures when it gets, like, when we get hurricane swells, but other than that, I haven't really done too much research down there.
I haven't either. There's probably some hidden gems
definitely
that we don't know about, and all the people in Georgia are like, please don't come here.
And then even South Carolina has a couple fun waves. Like Folly Beach, I've surfed there a couple times, and it gets pretty fun there.
Did you ever travel down there, surf with Cameron when he was in school down there?
I never did when he was in school, but I had, like, I think I did one contest there, and then went there for a surfer's healing event.
Okay.
I was working one time.
Yeah.
And the waves got pretty fun there. It was like 3-foot range.
Oh, fun.
Got to surf the washout.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They definitely get some fun waves there too.
So what is surfer's healing? I'm familiar with it, but our listeners might not be. What's surfer's healing?
Well, honestly, I'm not entirely too familiar with them. Okay. I've only done like a few events for them.
Yeah.
Few charity events through a surf camp I used to work at, Indojax.
Yeah.
I forget what they do specifically.
Yeah. So the best that I know is it is for young people, adults who are on the spectrum with autism. And it is a time in the water. It's therapeutic. It is just that connection.
Yeah.
And I know if I say his name, I will hack his name up, but it's a guy from California. He had a son, I believe, that was born with autism, and he found that surfing was a safe place for him, for his son, and that he was different in the water. And so he started inviting other friends to come along and to surf, and then it kind of grew, and now they travel all around, and we do a really big one here, John Pike. I don't know if he still hosts, I'm assuming he's still very much involved, and Indojax and others with the Surfers Healing. And when I first moved here, I used to help out with it, just serving lunches, just being on the beach and serving lunches to everybody. And it grew from a 1-day to a 2-day event. And it's really, really a great organization.
Yeah, I've done a few here for them too. It's always a good time. The kids are always super happy.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm sure that you can check out their website, Surfers Healing, and it'd be a worthy cause to contribute to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So where were we before we talked? We're going to Outer Banks.
Yep.
East Coast travel. Why aren't we in Georgia, South Carolina? Because there's secret spots and the locals are really violent.
Yep.
How about West Coast? You traveled any?
I've surfed in California a few times. Mm-hmm. Out there like 2 winters in a row, like probably 3-4 years back. Mostly in like the North San Diego area.
Okay.
And then did a little bit of traveling up to the Ventura area.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I got to surf just pretty basic waves in San Diego, surf the harbor, pretty similar wave to here. But I also got to surf lower trestles.
Oh, cool.
A couple times, and also Rincon in Ventura, which was a really fun time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good point break.
Cool. What was the vibe out there for you like?
Rincon was very, very crowded.
Was it?
A few pretty heavy local people that would sit out the back and run you over if you're in their way.
Yeah.
But honestly, a lot of people that weren't too experienced out there too.
Okay.
So
a lot like South End.
Correct. Very much like. So I didn't make it too hard to catch waves there.
Mm-hmm.
And that wave's very fun. So.
Oh, cool.
Made for a pretty good experience.
Nice. Nice. Any international travel other than Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I've done some traveling to Peru, actually. Mm. I went to there for a mission trip and stayed a couple of days after. Did a little bit of surfing there.
Where, at Lima? Or
It was near Lima.
Voice crack.
I think it was San Bartolo is where I surfed.
Okay.
A little surf town there.
Yeah.
Don't remember it too much. I was like 14, so. All right.
What was the wave like?
It was fun. There was like a couple of different jetties there, and there's like a little left point, and then across the harbor, there was another right point.
Hmm.
All like rock reef, like big cobblestones. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But, it was cool. They had like a channel you had to paddle out in, so it wasn't too hard to get in and out.
Right.
So that was kind of nice.
Yeah. But, so talk to me about it. What's a channel?
So a channel is basically like a deeper spot in a surf break off to one of the sides where it's deeper and the waves aren't as concentrated to where it's shallower and the waves are getting more focused there.
Yeah.
Where the waves are more focused, you paddle the channel where it's deeper, it's not going to break as much. Makes it easier to get in and out of the break.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been down to Lima and I've looked over the cliffs and observed, you know, surfers down there, and I thought, man, that would be really fun to do. I even drove up to Chicama.
Yeah.
And looked at it. It was small, and I didn't have a board. I was only there for like 30 minutes. But got my picture, you know, there on the cliffs and stuff. It was beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, that place is very, very pretty.
Yeah. Did you get up there?
I never did. Did some traveling on the Amazon.
Okay.
And, like, missions work there.
Out of Peru as well?
Yeah.
Out of Iquitos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then only did a little bit of traveling to the little surf town. That was it.
Yeah. Neat. Neat. That's definitely one that I would love to go back and just surf. Juan Chaco is this massive left as well that comes rolling through the little harbor there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets good there. I'd love to do some traveling there for sure.
Yeah. Now, are you goofy foot or regular?
Regular footed.
Okay. So all those lefts would be backside to you.
That's fine by me.
Yeah. You like backside?
I don't mind it. It's not my favorite. Uh-huh. I'd prefer to go front side, but.
Right. What is it about front side, backside? Like, I like to go front side just because I'm a lot more comfortable that way. My body's not turning, you know, position different. Yeah. But some people really love backside.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's where they find their best wave and their best feel is backside.
Yeah, it's all kind of about how comfortable you are. Like, I'm more comfortable front side, mm-hmm. personally. And then, so when I go out, I need to sometimes work on my backside more.
Yeah.
But if I was going on a trip, I prefer to go front side for sure.
Fine, you're right.
Yeah.
You need to go to Jeffreys Bay.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Yeah.
Definitely need to travel there eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful spot.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Well, so we're going to the Outer Banks. And whereabouts in the Outer Banks?
In Rodanthe. I think this was a session at S-Turns.
Pretty okay.
popular spot up there.
Yeah. That's right as you're coming in to Rodanthe on the north correct. Side.
Yeah, yeah. It's right at the start.
Mm-hmm. I've driven by there, saw the crowd, looked. Yep, not for me.
Yep.
I'm not good enough.
It's a very, very easy spot to pick yeah. right when you're coming over into a little bit of civilization.
Yes.
You see a bunch of cars. You're like, cool. I guess it's good here. Let's just stop here and
yeah.
call it a day.
So what was the conditions like on this particular day?
I believe it was like probably 6 to 8 foot.
Summertime, wintertime?
Summertime.
Okay.
It was like beginning of fall.
All right,
so it was still warm.
Yeah.
Still like 70, 80 degrees out. Water's like 78 probably.
Mm-hmm. Was also this a hurricane?
It was the back end of a hurricane.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
But it was the back end of one. I was up there for like a few days already.
All right. You score good prior to this?
Yeah, yeah. Had a lot of like real fun days before and then finally got big enough to get some real waves.
Yeah.
The next
yeah.
morning.
So you would you say how 6 to 8?
Yeah, around the 6 to 8 foot range.
Mm-hmm.
The winds were good. Offshore up there is west.
Yeah.
So it's blowing like west southwest. So it's pretty perfect. Not blowing that hard. There's like 5-10 miles an hour. Pretty dreamy
yes.
session. But
it's crowded?
A little bit. Not too crowded. No more than like 30 people.
Okay.
A little bit of current, so everyone was kinda spread out.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you there with some friends or just?
Yeah, I was up there with one of my buddies, Gabe, and then I believe Jarrett might have been with me.
Okay.
I can't remember. We had a lot of trips in that little.
Is that the one he broke his board?
No, that was a different one.
Okay. But that was Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, but this was during like a really good run of swell, and I made so many trips with different people.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to remember exactly who I was with, but I know Gabe was with me.
Okay.
Like a couple other buddies that live up there.
Now, I've not met Gabe. I've heard his name thrown around recently, and I heard he rips pretty good.
Yep, very, very good.
Yeah.
Better than me. Easily.
Well, I'd like to see him surf one day.
Yeah.
Maybe get him on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. You should.
Yeah. Well, you got the connection. So, S-Turns, pretty popular break. Anybody, as you observed, anybody kind of well-known for the area or people that traveled in?
Off first glance, kind of just couldn't really tell.
Average Joe's.
Yeah, just typical people that live there. Just no one really caught the eye.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Me and people that live there, my buddies that live up there, about the only people I kind of recognized.
Okay.
Hopping in.
Yeah, yeah. And so paddled out.
Oh, yeah. Paddled out. I think my second wave was the one I'll be talking about. First wave was just stood up, just got pitched off like a 6-footer.
So you got your destruction out earlier.
Yep,
right?
Yep. First wave just got pounded, just absolutely pounded.
And Outer Banks compared to Wrightsville, same state, same ocean, but Outer Banks has a different power to it.
Yeah, so it's a little deeper there, mm-hmm. off the coast. Mm-hmm. It gets a little, our shoals block a lot of the swell, so it's a lot shallower.
Yeah.
So we don't get as much energy,
right,
from the swells, and there it's a little deeper, so they get a lot more concentrated energy from that deeper water.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this, as that energy comes in, I mean, we may have the same hurricane and maybe, you know, 12, 13, 14 second period. They get that hurricane, same swell, and the period jumps up a little bit, and it's pumping.
Oh, yeah. It's easily, typically, if it's good here, it's a couple feet bigger and better there.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Did you run up there a couple weeks ago on that weekend that, I think it was Anna, our first kind of disturbance in the water?
It was on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I actually did not go, but I heard it was very fun up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to leave after church and decided, 4-hour drive,
yeah,
3 hours of surf. You know, Monday morning looked rough, and so it would just be that 3-hour window. I should have done it.
Yeah, when you get those days, you get a little bit unmotivated. Once you get a little bit unmotivated, you're probably not gonna go.
Yeah, like my dad used to say, "He who hesitates is lost." Missed my opportunity. Missed it.
So did I.
Yeah, yeah. So second wave. So first wave was a pounding, but you need to get that out of the way.
Oh yeah, gotta start with that.
Yeah.
Gets you loose and comfortable for the rest of the session.
Absolutely.
But yeah, second wave, paddled into it, probably like a foot overhead, mm-hmm. at high range, and just pulled in, had a really long line on it, just pulled straight into
was
the barrel.
Backside, front side?
Front side. Okay. Front side. So it was a right. But yeah, dropped in, pulled straight into the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled through it for like a couple seconds.
Yeah.
I was pretty deep, made it over like the foam ball.
Right.
The foam ball is like the little part in the wave where it breaks inside the barrel.
Yeah. And so although you see it all coming on the outside, but it's also doing that same thing in the hollow on the inside.
Correct. Yeah. So made it over one of those, traveled through it for another couple seconds.
No way.
And then came out of it and just was like honestly more amazed than anything that I made it out.
Yeah.
And then kind of just like looked around, trying not to claim it, and like, just kind of looking around in confusion that I made it, and just like made eye contact with one of my buddies sitting out the back, and then his face kind of lit up. Was like, huh. Can't believe he made that one.
Yeah. So you were pretty deep.
Yeah, that was one of my better barrels I've probably had.
Okay.
In my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah. So we don't get a lot of barrels around here. Barrel time is limited.
It's minimal.
And so when you get in a situation like that, what's going through your mind? I mean, other than shock.
Yeah. It's definitely more nerve-wracking because, here you're not really traveling through the wave, mm-hmm. but up there when you're surfing like an actual wave, you have to like adjust for having to surf that.
Because, mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
I mean, it's harder drops to make. It's more steep. It just throws everything in a twist.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely have to be mentally on it, physically on it.
Got to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah. Because the beatings are harder, the wave is more critical, and everything, the dynamic changes. It ups your game.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So coming out, kicking out, paddling back out, you're probably like, did that just happen?
Yeah, I got a smile. I'm like, got a grin ear to ear, just like, oh, that was awesome. And then just kept on thinking about that the rest of the session, even though I had a couple more fun waves that session, but mm-hmm. like second wave, make your hold like trip worth it.
Right.
That's the best way for it to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, as we're surfing, we're always looking for that perfect wave.
Yeah.
That next one, you know, am I going to score? You know, you see it coming. What am, you know, just that anticipation and excitement about it. What made that session stick out more than others? I mean, you've been other places, surf trestles, you know, but that session, that wave, what was it?
I'd say not only how good the wave was, but just when you're up surfing with a couple buddies a couple days in a row, just the group I was with, and just like the attitude we all had paddling out, like you paddle out with a couple buddies and you're always just gonna have a great time.
Yeah.
So just that added up with that wave and just like the rest of the trip just made it probably one of the more memorable ones. And it's one of the waves that like I can like almost just envision in my mind.
Yeah.
Like over and over. Like I could be thinking about it like right now and just like
you just did
redo it every time I talk about it. So. Yeah.
And that's what I love about this podcast. I don't have to twist your arm to try and find a wave. I mean, you probably got to sort it out, but that one comes to the surface.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, because I've seen you throw air on waves and, you know, I've seen you do other things, but to get in that type of situation and to come out of that barrel, yeah, I could see how that would burn in your in your brain.
You get a couple waves like that, and they just kind of they stick in your head and stick in your mind, and you just can't stop thinking about a few of them. Yeah, for sure.
And then the forecast, you're like, ooh, there's a hurricane coming. Ooh, there's swell coming. You're never going to get that wave back, but you're always hoping for that next.
Yeah, you can always room to improve. Yeah. So you can always get a better wave. So that's always exciting to look forward to whenever you're forecasting as well.
Absolutely. So let's go back to that first wave and the beatdown. What's your heaviest beatdown that you've ever had on a wave?
Ooh. I think it was also in the Outer Banks.
Hmm.
But it actually wasn't from falling on the wave.
Okay.
It was from paddling back out.
Oh no.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But paddling back out on a day that wasn't even like that big. It was like in the head high range, just like nothing crazy.
Right.
Maybe a little bigger. Pretty like common like swell to go up for. But there's this one wave and I was paddling out and it was like two or three waves like stacked on top of each other. And so I went to go duck dive, like dive under the first one, and it just like pushed me to the bottom and I started to float back up. And then the second and like third one that were like doubled up on top of it broke again on top of me.
No
then
way.
Just threw me back down to the ground and then just kind of like doing somersaults underwater. And I came up and I was just like, ugh, that was terrible. And I was in like, it was cold. It was middle of winter.
Yeah.
So I was in a gloves and
a
hood.
Brain freeze.
Yeah.
Being underwater that long.
Yeah. That one was definitely a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing you don't really bounce back from. Surfing around here, it's not too scary. So that didn't have too much to come back from for sure.
Right. Right. I've only had one time here where I just got on a paddle out. Just got beat and it was cold. You know, hood. I hate paddling out with a hood.
It's a classic. Yep.
I'll paddle out with a hood and then I'll usually pull it off. You know, just to save my head from the brain freeze. But I was just getting beat and I just got wigged out. And one of the things that you often hear people say, and maybe you can elaborate on is relax.
Yeah. That's the most important thing to do. Once you start stressing out a little bit, your heart rate jumps up and then you just start stressing out more than you should. But if you can relax and kind of like calm yourself down before like something like that happens, then it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. And if you find yourself in that situation, don't be afraid to just turn around and go sit on the beach for a minute.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
We've all experienced that little freak out of I'm going to die.
Yeah. 100%.
And so there's nothing wrong with going and sitting and getting your heart rate back down.
Take a breath.
Yeah. Get your composure.
Yeah. Calm down a little bit. Taking a breath, just relaxing a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And surfing allows us those opportunities to really push ourselves. And to test our resolve and to test our physical ability. And what do you do to keep in shape for surfing?
Sadly, not enough. Surfing really keeps me in shape for surfing.
Yeah.
As funny as that sounds.
No. I remember listening to an interview with John Florence after an event he won. They were like, so what's your workout? And he goes, I don't work out. I just surf.
Yeah. I've never been the motivated enough to be the working out type.
Yeah.
So
some people are.
Yeah. Some people do it. Some people do it well. But for me, I'd rather just, like I said, go paddle on a longboard and just go paddle.
Yeah.
Like go paddle to Masonboro and back and just do something or get your arms and your shoulders moving.
Yeah.
Keep you in shape a little bit.
Yeah. And surfing I can't remember who it was. Surfing really should be called paddling because you do most of that.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it against current, against the wind. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're always paddling.
Always, always. So right before we started this episode, we were out in the lobby talking about fishing.
Yeah.
Sounds like you you got a little side addiction there.
Oh yeah, I do a lot of fishing. I've done that since I was a kid, like yeah. Little kid.
Sweet. What do you like to catch?
Preferred. I like to catch like redfish and speckled trout. That's preferred.
You have a boat or just?
Well, actually, right now I'm in partial ownership of a boat.
Okay.
While my brother's out of town for a little while.
There you
go. He
moved
to Puerto Rico. So
yeah.
I'm in partial ownership of his boat.
There you go.
That I need to work on so I can get out and go fish a little bit.
Well, fun. If you ever need a net boy, just let me know. I'd love to join you.
Whenever I get it ready, I'm down to take anyone at this point.
Yeah, well, you were talking about a opportunity you had last fall in a kayak. What happened there?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I got a buddy that lives on Wrightsville Beach, and sometimes the Spanish will get up close to the beach, and I decided to take his kayak and just launch it from the beach.
Yeah.
And start adventures like that. So I did that for a couple of days, and launching from the beach is definitely interesting when you got like 2 foot waves, like, and you're carrying a fishing rod and like a cooler, and you're sitting flat above the water. And you can't move that fast in a kayak.
Yeah.
I mean, not as fast as I'd want to. So paddling out through that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but you scored some fish?
Oh, yeah. I got into a big school of Spanish one day and probably caught at least like 40 fish.
Wow.
Just by myself, just having a good old time and seeing them jump for like about a quarter of a mile.
Oh, wow.
And it's, yeah, it was a grand time.
That sounds good. So, did you do school, college?
Yeah, or not college. I just did the high school thing and went straight into working.
Okay. Where are you working?
I work at Mess Hall, a restaurant downtown.
Great burgers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very good. Very good. Yeah. So I'm just doing that right now full time.
Cool.
I've always been kind of like more work than school type. So
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I love that more.
Yeah. What's the future hold for you? What do you think?
That's a great question. I ask myself that often.
Yeah.
Kind of just taking it one step at a time. Just working this job, making decent money, trying to save up and try to travel a little bit.
All right.
That's the goal.
Where's your next travel spot?
Hopefully, I'm trying to either go to Nicaragua or Mexico in August.
Yeah.
So hopefully go there soon. And then long run in like September, October, I'm going to try to go to France.
Really?
France or Portugal. Go into the Europe.
Wow.
Try to go over there.
Wow. Hosgor?
Yep. Hosgor.
Hosgor? I'm not sure.
I don't really know.
I don't speak French. Well, that's fun, man.
Yeah. Hopefully that works out.
Yeah. We'll have to do a part two and get your European adventure on here.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. No, I, there's one spot that I've talked to a guy about it, and then another guy gave me some, I would love to surf Israel.
Yeah.
Mediterranean. And so I've got a trip coming up end of December, 1st of January. I've got a few spots left. It won't be a surf trip, but if we can talk to my guy it's kind of the host. I'm his bag boy. If we can talk to him about getting down to the coast, maybe we could check out some spots.
Oh, yeah.
There's some surf shops down there.
I'm sure you could easily rent a board from
there. There's a QS that competes in Israel every year.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I forget about that one.
Yeah. So there's waves there.
Oh yeah. It's surprising. You wouldn't think there is, but there's waves in crazy places that no one even thinks about.
Probably even Georgia.
100%.
Well, cool. Well, Stone, thank you for being on the show, man.
Of course. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Now, in your, you know, in these mission trips and different things that you've done, I'm sure you always have these small group times where you get together to read the Bible or whatever. You ever come across surfing in the scriptures?
I have not.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like,
not personally.
Well, Jesus walked on water.
Yeah.
And not that. But there's a unique passage of scripture in Acts 27. So Paul is on his way to Rome. There's a shipwreck. The ship is destroyed on the reef. And he says, hey, everybody swim to shore. If you can swim, swim. And then it says, everybody else made it safely to shore. It says, some on pieces of the ship. So debris from the wreckage. And then the other part of that verse says, some on boards. And so I'm wondering, did they have boards on the ship? Or are these bigger planks that were broken up from mm-hmm. the ship? Or what? What do you think?
I don't know. It's pretty interesting to think about. I feel like I'd have to read it.
Yeah.
Like, do a little thinking on it to give some good feedback on it.
But yeah.
I'll have it ready for part two.
A lot of people you know, say that I'm stretching it.
Yeah.
And maybe I am. But I'd like to think that one of those guys got, you know, made it back in and like, hey, you want to paddle back out?
It's not a bad thing to think about. It's not a bad stretch.
No, not at all.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, Stone, thank you very much.
Of course.
Yeah. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Sick.